Welcome to Nerdities. Bitches.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of appropriate ages, Nerdities proudly presents to you its podcast and internet trios champions of the world. I am one third of those champions, co-host of the show, the alpha of alphas, the lord and master of the universe. I am Justin, as always, joined by my hetero life mate, co-host of this show. He is the god of the dad bod. He is the king of chaos.
Kyle.
Rounding out our trio champions, they call him the cynic, or the saint of cynics, my bad. The Van Damme of the body slam. The squishiest of the squish lords. Who you be?
I am Vin, the nature boy, Ric Flair.
What? Why not just go nature boy on that?
How about you do it your way and I'll do it my way?
Fair enough. Prepare yourselves now for the greatest mind slash mouth in the game. And I mean the podcast game. Don't be dirty. He hails from parts well known. He is the mouth of the East. He is God's favorite atheist.
I is, Mike.
And don't forget, the Million Dollar Mensch. The oldest of young boys.
I'd like some of that $1 million, Joe.
I'm hoping to win that $1 billion tonight.
Oh, my brother, God. Brother. That needs to happen.
It's another month. It's WrestleMania season. Wrestling stuff has happened. Let's talk about it, at least me and Kyle. Kyle.
At least that was sarcasm.
Kyle. Ospreay, yeah. Monet, Okada all debuted for AEW since we last talked, like we had stated they would. How are you feeling about their debuts and their situations in the company thus far?
I feel pretty good about all three. Has Monet debuted in-ring yet? Because I saw she did two promos. I haven't. If she did have a match so far, I haven't seen it yet.
I don't believe she has, unless it was on, like, Rampage.
But okay.
I don't think she's going to debut in-ring on Rampage.
Okay. So, I'm excited for her. I feel good about her being there. But her double promos that I saw, I kind of feel the same way about them as I felt about CM Punk's first two promos back in WWE. Because he cut two promos, and the first one I thought was underwhelming for what it could have been, and the second one was better. And it's kind of how I feel about Mercedes Moné also. I like the angle that they're using with Okada coming in, like arguably Kenny Omega's biggest rival in Japan, comes in and effectively takes his place in the Elite when the Bucks kick him out of the Elite.
Yeah.
So I like that in terms of story, even though I don't think the Bucks are where they were a couple years ago in terms of in-ring ability. But I know Okada's obviously, you can tell he's lost a step also, but I like what they're doing in terms of story with him. A lot of people don't like that he beat Kingston for a title already, but I would be quick to point out that Kingston had three titles. So taking one off of him still leaves him with two titles.
It does.
And I think the important thing is to take a title off of Kingston that was not the title from New Japan. So it wasn't like they had Okada come over and just gave him a New Japan title.
Yeah.
They gave him the title from AEW.
Yeah.
Which I think was the only one that made sense to take off of Kingston. And then Ospreay is just like, I'm thrilled with the fact that the possibility in the short-term, long-term, however you want to look at it, for the top two faces in AEW to be Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland is fucking incredible to me. Like, I would be so happy if that turned out the way that I think we hope it will. And then to have MJF eventually come back, probably start off as a face but turn heel again and be working off of those two guys. The fact that Samoa Joe is consistently one of the best heels in the business. And, like, there's plenty of other guys that are just, like, phenomenal heels. Also, Danielson, until he retires, Moxley can play either role. And then, I guess on top of that,
Adam Cole.
I just love how he fits in the company, and I think he's a natural when it comes to getting over with the fans.
Dude, he has been the highlight of wrestling for me in the last few weeks. His fucking energy when he comes out and cuts his promos, I'm just like, yeah, fuck. Like, I feel almost like I'm my fucking adrenaline is spiked.
Yeah,
just from hearing him talk.
It's so weird because his accent would make me think like this wouldn't be possible. But when he talks the way he talks, it almost feels like, because he is really, when it comes down to it, he just acts like he acts like he's just a kid from the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And when I watch him, I feel like he's a kid from my neighborhood, even though he doesn't sound like that at all.
Bruv.
Yeah.
The bruv chance.
Like, I feel like I'm rooting for one of my childhood friends when I watch him as a face.
Yeah. It's like the dude you knew growing up, and you're just like, yeah, fuck yeah, Will, go do your shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward to the shit that's going to go down between him and Adam Cole when Adam Cole is healthy.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to that, too. I don't know if that's ever going to be a thing, though. Like, I'm getting to the point with Adam Cole where, like, you know, kind of where I eventually had to get to with Scorpio Sky. I was, like, super excited for that guy and got hurt, and it's just taken forever. Like, how I was with Miro, you know?
Yeah, well, then he fucked off to the country, back to his home country because he split with his wife. So.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, the people that I was super excited for, like, that's how I feel about Adam Cole, too, but at a certain point, like, you know, he can only do so much standing at ringside.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the like Masterpiece Theater vignettes that they've shot with him.
Yeah.
Moving on. As of April 1st, one of Kyle's all-time favorite tag teams in the world of professional wrestling are free agents.
Okay. Let me fix that. It should be one of the all-time favorite tag teams of anybody who has ever watched wrestling or even enjoys tag team wrestling in general. Because in terms of their move combinations and the shit that they've come up with over the course of their careers as a team, like their combo maneuvers, I think they're unmatched in like basically the history of professional wrestling.
The Motor City Machine Guns.
Fuck yeah.
Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley. Kyle is right. It is probably one of the most dynamic tag teams that's ever wrestled. The problem is, like, with the exception of like their time in TNA, they never got like the huge spotlight. And now, of course, there's two options, right? For a big national spotlight. They can go to AEW, which is probably what they're going to do because they are friends with, like, everybody on the fucking roster. Or they could go to WWE. And if this was 3 or 4 years ago, I'd say don't fucking do it. But as we've seen since he who shall not be named, even though I'm going to name him in a little bit, a few other stories, has been removed from the company. And the man who was responsible for the resurgence in WWE with NXT, Paul Levesque, has taken over. It's watchable again. Like, I go out of my way now to catch as much WWE programming as I can. The same way I view my AEW stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, Paul has always taken his tag team divisions seriously, and we're seeing that. So, like, they'd be cool. I wouldn't mind seeing them drop in over there for a bit. But, like, style-wise and matchup-wise, I think I'd prefer to see them go to AEW.
Yeah, so, like, I think if... Here's my thinking, right? If they go to WWE, they are instantly, like, if you haven't seen them before, after their first match, in your head, as a fan of the WWE, you're going to watch them wrestle one match and be like, oh, these guys are a top five tag team in this company. Immediately.
Yeah.
Like, walking in the door, one match down, top five tag team in the company. And they're really not going to have to step on any toes to get that recognition there.
No. And there's...
The problem is... And there's problem teams. Is sustained interest in them as a tag team when they have to wrestle the same three tag teams over and over again.
Yeah. So, like, that becomes the problem. As much as I'd love to see DIY take on Motor City Machine Guns...
Exactly.
...many times, who else do they got? The New Day.
The Usos.
But they don't
if
have...
they got back
you
together.
You don't have the Usos
not
right
together.
Now, right?
So, Imperium.
Right.
Which, and then...
which, they're good, but, like, it's not a dream match for me. So, DIY, New Day, and War Machine.
Yeah, I guess War Machine. Yeah.
That's it. Now, we go over to the other side, and clearly, them and the Bucks, because we've seen it before, but why wouldn't we want to see it? Right?
I mean, like, the Bucks, in AEW, the Bucks are, like, probably five or six on the list of teams I want to see them wrestle.
FTR is
right,
like, FTR is number one.
Motor City Machine Guns number one
versus FTR. Fuck.
I would love to see them wrestle the Lucha Brothers, but I don't know. I don't think Rey Fénix is healthy yet.
No.
I would love to see them wrestle pretty much any combination of the Blackpool Combat Club. I would like to see them wrestle Top Flight. That would be an incredible match.
Yeah.
Private Party would be an incredible match. Fucking The Acclaimed.
Yep.
Like, all those matches, and they wouldn't even have to, like, really pace, because all those teams can wrestle, like, fast.
Right.
But, I mean, obviously, it would take another year to get another rematch that I would love to see. Because if Scorpio Sky's not coming back healthy, they're going to have to wait a year for Josh Alexander to come to AEW to get Motor City Machine Guns versus the North again.
Yeah.
Which would be... I would love to see that happen also.
Yeah, just think, like, playing field-wise, matchups are nicer in AEW.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move into some of the ickier stuff of the last few weeks. And some names were named in that lawsuit against Vincent Kennedy McMahon. We know that corporate officer 1, 2, 3, and 4 are the following people. Nick Khan, Brad Blum, Stephanie McMahon, and Brian Nurse. Now, the way that it's laid out in the lawsuit is that, like, officers 3 and 4 knew something were up. And, like, but didn't know specifics, right? Just assumed it was Vince being Vince, you know, fucking an employee, like he's done. And 3 and 4 were his own daughter, which she ended up leaving, and some other dude, Brian Nurse. Corporate Officer 1, being Nick Khan, is where things get a little murky in the water. Vince introduced Khan to... I forget her name.
Plaintiff?
Yes. That was his, like, go-to guy to clear up issues. So, it kind of incriminates Nick Khan, who says he wasn't aware to the full extent of what was going on. But it sounds like he was aware enough that she got her position because she was fucking Vince. And, like, that brings up a whole bunch of issues. And it could potentially pull Nick Khan out of the company, depending on how deep this goes. So, it's not looking great.
I guess I'm not shocked to hear that Stephanie also didn't shit on this woman's head. Figured she would only be tangentially involved in this thing, like a negligence issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we knew, I'll just say this for my part. Before we knew the names of these 4 corporate officers, when I read the court filing, I thought, like, okay, corporate officers 3 and 4 might not get fired over this.
Right.
Corporate officers 1 and 2 should absolutely get fired over this.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Now, the kind of sigh of relief I had was seeing that Paul Levesque was not named as any of the corporate officers.
He's too busy working. Yeah.
No, I mean, that, like, I was nervous, legit, because, like I said, you know, we've talked on this podcast and you know, the one above all, about how I went from being such a huge WWE fan to dropping out during COVID on them. And the product just, it sucked for a long time. Right? Even before I stopped watching, it was just, they had no competition. It was repetitive. They were making bad decisions. Vince was losing his faculties of how to, like, you know, be a good promoter because he had no one nipping at his fucking heels. Right? TNA was a very distant second. And so I stopped watching the main roster, watched NXT, until Vince booted Levesque from there. And then they did the whole rebrand and made it look like fucking 90s Zumba pants. And, like, it was bad. I stopped watching. Then I heard he was taking more control when Vince stepped down. And now, knowing Vince is gone and Paul has full control, it's been great. Like, it is fun to watch again. And so when the fucking lawsuit dropped and there was, like, unnamed corporate officers, I was like, fuck. This is going to fuck everything up. But it's not. And I'm happy about that. I'm happy that these people named probably going to get the justice that they deserve. And it was good to see that Stephanie was not, like, deeply involved. I'm glad. I mean, because, like, the more that's coming out is Vince and Linda had been separated since, like, the 90s?
I've heard that, too, on, like, Dark Side of the Ring episodes, that
Yeah. They
really haven't been together for a long time.
No.
So all these times everyone's like, oh, Linda must be so upset about all the things he's doing. I'm pretty sure they split up before he had the first woman kiss his ass on screen.
Yeah.
And they were just, like, business partners.
Yeah.
So technically, he could have had all the fun in the world if he just kept it above board.
Yeah.
He could have thrown money around like crazy, paying a new hooker every night. Instead, it was about the power.
Right.
Yeah, there's a real chance that they were broken up in the Sable era and well before the Trish Stratus era.
Yeah, they were broken up when they were doing the Family McMahon thing.
Yeah, think about how brilliant that is. He knows he's got to turn himself into a horrendous person who's cheating on the time his wife was in a coma.
Yes.
Yeah, all that time where we had to hate him for doing horrendous things, they were never actually together, but they were telling us they were, so we hated him even more. The man was a great storyteller.
Yeah.
Undeniably. At it for a time.
Sure.
So, Justin.
Yes.
Do you feel now that the release of these four names all but confirms our suspicions of Paul finding out about this is what caused his heart attack?
I don't know if they're like mutually exclusive, because the majority of the time that this relationship was happening was when Paul was out.
Oh, see, I thought the relationship was like going when he had his heart attack already.
Like, it might have been in its like infancy. But I think when the shit hit the forehead, or the fan, he was...
I can't, man. That sounded like a Cornette thing to say.
It was a very Cornette thing.
Yeah.
That's why I did the lame-ass chuckle. It was... I think that's when he was out
for that... Whatever the fuck.
That lengthy period of time.
Should it be a little more high, twangy?
I have a Jolly Rancher in my mouth, so.
That's my favorite thing that Cornette says when he's like, whatever the fuck.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. On top of this, Ronda Rousey is not fucking holding back.
Some of her info came up this week.
Woohoo! So, the first I had heard of any of her stuff, this was the quote that I'd gotten from her autobiography, right? Quote, NXT was founded by and under the control of Triple H, real name Paul Levesque. In addition to being my in-ring WrestleMania nemesis, he's arguably one of the best professional wrestlers in history and one of the better people on the business side. He's married to Stephanie McMahon, who's the daughter of WWE's Emperor Palpatine, Vince McMahon. Vince took over the company from his father in the early 1980s and spent the better part of 40 years playing a real-world pro wrestling version of Monopoly, buying up and absorbing smaller promotions until he basically owned them all. It's hard sometimes to know where the evil, unethical, slimeball character of Vince McMahon played out for the camera ends, and the actual, questionably ethical, many times sued, and multiple times accused of sexual misconduct Vince McMahon begins. That blurred line between character and reality is a recurring theme within the WWE universe. And then I was like, whoa. And then I heard some more. And damn, Rhonda. She goes on to explain why she really left. Quote, the bloodline is able to plan things out a year ahead of time, and they won't even talk to me until I get to the arena about anything. I proved in my first match that if you give me the time, the resources, and preparation, I can put together an amazing match. I just didn't want to be Vince McMahon's fucking figure, Vince's action fucking figure anymore. Felt like I was like doing custom matches for a fucking sicko in the back. All power to the girls that keep fighting the good fight, but I'm in my mid-30s now. I've got shit to do. WWE just refused to work with me at all. They refused to collaborate. They didn't want to talk to me about it. They kept pushing it off and pushing it off until it finally got to the road to WrestleMania, and they're like, yeah, we're not gonna do you and Becky. I'm like, all right, well then I'm fucking leaving unless me and Shayna can tag. Yeah, I mean, she did not like the old man at all. And I can't blame her. And I wonder what kind of fucking weird thing he's like said to her. To like
just one.
To make her drop this kind of stuff. Like, she sounds like she knows of other women who've been in this situation.
Yeah, I'm sure most of the women do.
Yeah. And it's like, she's a step away from just naming names.
It is kind of a funny thing, right? Like, it's not funny, but I mean, it's kind of like an interesting dynamic. Like, you would think the concept of, like, making your employees happy would make them perform better in the workplace. You'd think, like, by now that would be, like, a universally known thing and a universally accepted idea, right? So, like, if you have talent, you're trying to book a story or a match, to have them not be able to contribute to their own stories or matches, or to not listen to minor suggestions or, like, what they even want to do. So, like, okay, I don't want to be a singles wrestler anymore. I want to tag with Shayna unless I'm going to go into this particular feud. And they could just be like, well, fuck you. You're not getting that feud.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, okay, tag with Shayna. Like, why wouldn't they let her do that? Doesn't make any sense. They don't have to be tagging for the titles.
All that applies, and I want to add on top of that, I can understand how frustrated she is when she knows they've got a game plan and won't even give her an inkling of what it is. Not even like, we have A, B, and C, and we're trying to decide between the three. What do you think about it? Or even just, we have A, B, and C. Think about how you want to handle those, and then we'll decide, have options for whatever we do. Just keep her in the loop in some way. But that, it goes back to what the company has been for so long. You do what we tell you to do, you do it when we tell you to do it, and you cash the check and shut up.
Yeah.
But there's also, like, the idea that if you're not one of the top-tier people in the company, that your storyline can change in any given night.
Yeah, but she was. She was the women's division.
Yeah. I mean,
the sport.
Yeah.
She was the Brock Lesnar of the women's division.
She bought fucking eyes with her.
Yeah. This is the same shit. I've been seeing a lot of videos about the end days of WCW. It's the same shit they had going on. This could have brought the entire company down. Just focusing on a small handful of people to the detriment of the other workers, the jobbers who are really doing the work for you.
Yeah.
Not just these high-paying people.
Moving on. Drew McIntyre is incredible. And if they haven't locked him into a new contract, this is going to be a big fucking loss for them. His shit.
I know one person who agrees with you, Justin.
His shit, both online and, like, at the shows, balancing the feud he currently has with Seth Rollins and the shit with CM Punk, has been Jeff's kiss.
Okay.
And from this, he posted this, I think it was an interview, but it got posted on Twitter. And he says, I've been pretty honest about my opinions. This is about Punk. He sells tickets, is a draw, but is a terrible human being. I was around him when I grew up, and there were instances I haven't talked about, perhaps won't talk about till it's face-to-face with him. But he knows. He, instead of wanting to pull me aside, even backstage and never mind on TV, and saying, hey, you know, maybe I wasn't a good person back then, or maybe I was in a bad place. Like, none of that just act like everything's perfectly fine. It's all right, mate. First chance I get in the ring with you, I'm going to mess you up. And I didn't just mess him up. I took him out, and I took his spot at WrestleMania 40. Karma is a bitch.
Is that mostly work? Or is that shoot?
Who knows?
I don't think he intentionally injured him.
No, yeah, he didn't intentionally.
Some of that stuff seems totally work, but, like, I could see that. Yeah, he was a dick to me when I was first coming up.
Yeah, that's,
and I'll never forget
all that's
I'll
true.
Never respect him. Yeah.
Then last night, they were in Chicago, so Punk came out. Punk was cutting a promo. Out comes McIntyre. McIntyre's talking about how this was great. This was God intervening on his behalf, blah, blah, blah. He sits on the announce desk, Indian style, like Punk does when he's in the promo. And then, like, Punk had called him into the ring.
Don't shoot up Mike Kilt, you perv.
Yeah. Yeah, the camera guy comes around and he's like, don't shoot up Mike Kilt, you perv. And he drops one of the best lines against CM Punk I've ever fucking any... This is incredible. He goes, you don't do drugs, you don't drink, but you spend all your time in rehab.
Yeah. I mean, CM Punk did have a few good jabs back in him.
Punk?
I will say...
Punk had a line. And he says to McIntyre, he's like, whose chosen one were you again? What was his name? And he's like, say his name if you have the balls. And the crowd was like, oh, fuck. Because he was Vince's chosen boy.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kyle.
No, so there was that, because McIntyre literally couldn't say anything. He had to wait for the crowd to die down and then change the subject.
Yeah.
But... He is very good with quips. I thought the angle he took for part of that segment was weird to me. Like, the whole you're my muse thing.
I thought that was incredible.
Well, I mean, I understood his point, but I think the way he was articulating it was, like, weird.
It was great. I loved it. He's like, I don't hate you. You complete me.
Well, yeah, but then at the very end, after Punk leaves the ring and McIntyre says you're not going to get the last word, he basically completely flips what he said.
Sure, but he's a heel; he can do that.
I guess.
He fucking earlier yesterday, they're in Chicago. He posted a video on his Twitter. He is standing in front of the fucking bakery where Punk had the cupcakes when he cut the promo in AEW. After the match with Hangman Page.
Uh-huh.
Where he said he was working with fucking children and shit. And he's like, these delicious cupcakes. And it was just like, it's just little things like that. That has Drew, like, fucking hands down above anybody else in that company. At their character. If it's even character. I don't even fucking know. He's just having a good fucking time. There's going to be, for the first time ever, a cross-promotion match in a different promotion featuring a WWE wrestler. Josh Barnett's Bloodsport is usually an event that happens during WrestleMania weekend. It is happening in Philly. And one of the matches, it's presented by GCW, which is a kind of like the new Ring of Honor was, an indie promotion that's grown and grown and grown, and Matt Cardona has been there, and Joey Janela, you know, helps run that place, and it's fun wrestling, right? They're putting on a match where it's going to be Masha Slamovich, a TNA wrestler, versus Shayna Baszler.
That's awesome.
This match is going to be violent.
Yeah, for sure.
And this makes me very happy that Paul, being in control of the company, is being way more open to stuff like this. Because in a perfect world for the fans, a super show with, like, all the big promotions would be great. It's probably never going to happen. But it would be awesome. And this is a step towards it. And I welcome it. Also, I'm going to see how I can watch this match. Because they're going to hurt each other. Like, in a good way. I heard they've reached out about one of the male talents from WWE being in one of these matches, too. I can't fucking remember. Anyway, last news item I have here before we get into Kyle and I's building a better WrestleMania. Jack Perry started shit with CM Punk. And then it turned into the brawl and All In. And then both men got removed from that show. Punk got fired. And Jack Perry has not been seen on television since. Jack Perry has shown up in New Japan recently. And from what has been gathered, the situation is like this. It's confirmed that Jack Perry is still employed by AEW despite becoming a New Japan performer, yet it has been claimed that Tony Khan is still mad at him due to his comments at All In, which resulted in the altercation that saw CM Punk fired. And now, in a new update from Brian Alvarez, it has been revealed that the 26-year-old Perry actually requested his AEW release following the incident, but it was declined. At present, it appears Khan and Perry are attempting to turn a negative into a positive via a work shoot angle, with Perry labeling himself as a scapegoat. However, it will only be known how successful their attempt to turn the situation into an angle is when Perry eventually returns to AEW television. The fans either treat him as a big deal or just another member of the roster. Supposedly, Perry had constantly been trying to reach out to Tony, and Tony never returned his phone calls until like 2 months ago. And they worked out whatever this deal was with Jack going to Japan for a while. Very interesting. Tony Khan doesn't seem like the kind of guy to hold a grudge. But this seems to show a little different.
Yeah, they're going to eventually, if and when they do bring Jack Perry back as a heel, they really need to pick and choose his feuds early on, because he can't come back and beat Swerve or Ospreay or anybody like that. Like, if he comes back, he's going to have to work his way up from the bottom somehow without making him seem like a mid-carder.
Yeah. Tony's going to make him pay fucking dues, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I was surprised by that story.
Yeah. So now it's time to build a better Mania. Every year, Kyle and I try to find a creative way to either improve on the current WrestleMania lineup or make a better show in general, and we have a bunch of different switcheroos and rules. This year, we take a look at the current WrestleMania card, and we can adjust any match, but however we remove a person from this match, they have to be replaced with someone from a different company or a different era. I can tell you now, I didn't do anybody from a different era.
Same.
Okay.
So when I was looking at the rundown, because not all the matches have been announced yet, right?
Right.
I think I came up with there was 10 matches on the list.
Yeah, 10. I have 10.
But knowing there's going to be more than that, I did 6 on night 1, 6 on night 2 for 12 matches total.
So I didn't create any extra matches.
Well, one is a match that I think the people in it are going to end up wrestling, and I just changed the opponents in that match. And the other one is a match that I tweaked the original match, and so I had to create a match to fill in for. Well, you'll know what I mean when we get to it.
Okay. Let's go match for match then. I'm going to start with the original match was LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
Wait, Are you doing this in the order that you're booking the show? Or are you just...
I'm going in a way that of importance, I guess.
Okay, because I wrote mine in the order that I was going to do the show, and this the original match of LA Knight versus AJ Styles is actually my night one kickoff match. Okay.
So LA Knight versus AJ Styles, I swap it for LA Knight versus MJF.
Ooh, that's good. I swapped it for AJ Styles versus Swerve Strickland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I like both of those matches.
I think it's a good night one, match one between Max and Knight because they are not super flashy in the ring. Max is a bit more than he is. But the amount of shit talk.
Yeah.
Would just be entertaining. It's a good way to kick it all off. The next match I have is the tag team ladder match. And it, as of standings yesterday, it was DIY, which was Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, The New Day, Damian Priest and Finn Balor, Judgment Day, The Miz and R-Truth, and then there was two to be determined teams, the one I looked at. I'm not sure if they filled those spots in since then or not. So I just took the opportunity to put two teams in those spots that I would like to see with this grouping already, and that is the Motor City Machine Guns and the Young Bucks.
Okay. So when I said I changed one of the matches,
yes,
this was the match that I changed because I kept the six-pack ladder match, but I changed the actual tag team match to a fatal four-way tag team match, keeping Balor and Priest and DIY, and I added Motor City Machine Guns and FTR.
Yeah.
The new match that I created for the six-pack ladder match is because it frustrates me that they don't have a trios title in the WWE. So my six-pack ladder match is for the first ever trios champions. And in that match, I have Roppongi Vice and Orange Cassidy, Imperium with Gunther, Blackpool Combat Club, House of Black, Death Triangle, and then the last team is Lashley and the Street Profits.
That's a good lineup. It's a good lineup. Let's see. Next up is Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso, and I kept that. I didn't touch that match.
That is one of two matches that I also kept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That needs to happen. I want to see them work out their shit.
Yeah.
Next up is a U.S. title triple threat match. Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. I changed this match to Kevin Owens versus Okada versus Josh Alexander.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Said I changed it to Kevin Owens versus Okada versus Josh Alexander.
So it's not for a title then?
No.
Okay.
Or I stripped Logan Paul of the title because he's a douchebag.
Okay. I kept Logan Paul in it. I changed it to Logan Paul versus Mike Bailey versus Darby Allin.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Next up, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. For the Intercontinental Championship. And I changed this to Gunther versus Cesaro.
Ooh, okay. Or so we went a similar way in our thinking.
Claudio Castagnoli.
I didn't pick Cesaro.
Okay.
But I also made this a triple threat match.
Okay.
So I did Gunther versus Takeshita versus Jonathan Gresham.
Ooh. Yeah, that's good. It's a good lineup. My original way that I was going with this was, before I got to the trios match, it was Sammy versus Okada, which also would be a great match. But I was like, no. Because I really want Gunther to go in there and like, be a meaty man. And I was like, he needs to wrestle someone, like, also who's strong and svelte. I was like, oh, Claudio.
That was my thinking with Takeshita also.
Next up, Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. And this one felt like a no-brainer, but I switched this to Rhea Ripley versus Jordynne Grace.
Okay. We're almost there. I also made this a triple threat match. Rhea versus Jordynne Grace versus Athena.
Yeah. Athena was my first pick, and then I was like, no, nah, Kyle's probably going to pick Athena for a match.
Yep.
Then Io Shirai versus Bayley. I swapped Bayley out for Hikaru Shida. I would pay $100 to watch Io Shirai fight Hikaru Shida.
I swapped out Bayley for Toni Storm.
Yeah. Then Seth versus Drew. As much as I love Drew, I put him out because there's a match that has to happen because Seth Rollins can't shut his fucking mouth on Twitter ever. And
this is the main event of night one?
Yes. And Seth,
this is my main event of night one too.
Seth Rollins versus Will Ospreay has to fucking happen.
Yep. I love it.
Cody versus Roman. Sorry, Cody.
Hang on.
What?
You have to do the stipulation match too, right?
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
Because I swapped some things around.
Okay.
So, Cody versus Roman gets flipped to Roman versus Mox.
Okay. This was the second match, aside from the Usos match, that I left the people in it. So Roman versus Cody, but I put it in a Hell in a Cell.
Okay. Because I took the tag match for the stipulations, and I turned it into a Fatal 4-Way title unification match with Cody versus Seth versus Rock versus Roman.
Okay. I kept Rock and Roman, but in place of Seth, I did Cody and MJF.
That's a good one, too. So.
Oh, the only other match that I added as my night two, second match of the night, I added the Kabuki Warriors versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter.
That'd be a good one, too.
Yeah.
Or you could have swapped it for Tony and Mariah May, because that'd be also a fun one. Or...
Yeah, that's true.
Or, I would say Ruby and... But she's not...
Soraya, they're not together anymore. And ultimately, I almost did that, but I still like Jamie Hayter better than Mariah May.
True.
Which is why I didn't do that.
All right, well, that's a wrestling show.
All right. As always, if you like what you hear, you can like us on facebook.com/nerdities, follow us on Twitter @nerdities, email us at nerdities@gmail.com, and check out nerdities.com.
While you're there, fuck yourself. Then head over to tpublic.com and search nerdities. Why? Because that's our new home for our merch. All the merch, all the designs, no problems, really nice colors, actually. I gotta say, very nice selection of colors. And different textural styles and whatever the fuck else you people wanted. So it's there. Go buy your shirts or stickers or phone cases or water bottles or whatever the fuck else we have on there. It was nice. I didn't have to pick all the different things to sell. They were just like, here's what's available. This is everything we have for your design to go on. Okay, cool. Super useful. So, tpublic.com, search nerdities, there you go. Sinful Creations by Justin.com, CINNFUL, Creations by Justin.com. Get your sweet treats. By the time you hear this, it'll be just days before Easter. And if you hadn't already ordered your shit, well, that sucks to be you. Because you're not going to have delicious cinnamon rolls or cookies or brownies to shove in your face holes. Instead, you're going to look at your peeps and be like, oh, these aren't even good till they get stale. And, fucking, these are not the good jelly beans. And then you get, like, the nondescript Easter chocolates wrapped in foil. Like, they're not Hershey's brand. Just, you know what I'm talking about. They're like,
I do.
They're like, whatever. And they're just like there. And you're just like, oh, I guess this is a form of chocolate. And you're just going to be sad.
Plastic chocolate?
Yeah, you're just going to be sad about it. And that could have been avoided if you weren't an asshole.
Yeah, don't be an asshole. Go to youtube.com/nerdities and bash that like button and subscribe and hit the bell to get notified when new content is coming, because a whole boatload of new content is coming, including the final installment of the Joe Trilogy. We have our cooking show, Nerd ETs, Season 1 coming. We have some shorts, we have some lives, we have some streams, we have a feature film. Give us money for this stuff. We need a budget.
We got a Halloween special. We need money. A Halloween special and a fucking Christmas special. And don't forget, the 100 greatest songs voted on by Nerdities. Even though Joe doesn't want to, but I'm going to fucking tongue his ear hole all night long when we do it.
Yeah, give me a budget so I can block my ears with cotton. Nerdies@gmail.com. We'll croon, we'll swoon, we'll talk about your business and or product.
Are we usually on the show with me? I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah, it's a normal.
Alright, keep things in the Nerdies crew. Get out of camp, boy, that would have waited. Chromos out of Burger Park.
Brother, brother. Okay.
Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming, but more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed life.